It is Friday, August 25th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, at least 28 people are killed in India following the conviction of a popular guru on rape charges.
This guru was a very charismatic spiritual head who claims to have some 50 million followers.
Hunger strikers illuminate Turkey's crackdown, and country singer Kane Brown takes up the cause of affordable housing. It's all ahead. Police in northern India say at least 28 people have been killed and 250 more wounded in riots that broke out after a court convicted a controversial guru of raping two of his followers. Tens of thousands of supporters of the guru, who calls himself Saint Dr. Gurmeet Ram Rahim Singh Ji Insan, had gathered near the barricaded courthouse in the city of Panchkula. The court handed down a guilty verdict Friday, triggering rioting by supporters of the guru. I spoke with reporter Anjana Pasricha in New Delhi and asked her if the violence was unexpected.
Yes, absolutely. A bit of surprise there. But then, you know, this guru was a very charismatic spiritual head who claims to have some 50 million followers. He has in the past presented himself as a social reformer who campaigns on issues such as drug and alcohol addiction. So while the case was going on, I think his followers were very concerned. And in the past week, they started converging on this town where the sentence was to be pronounced. The government had deployed a lot of police and security forces, but somehow that didn't work. They went on a rampage after he was pronounced guilty. The situation turned very bad. They set fire to government buildings, and police had to fire tear gas, water canisters. They attacked media vans and journalists, threw stones. So it was really a very chaotic situation, almost like a riot.
Well, now, apparently, what is known about this particular sect? I believe it's known as the Dera Saka Sauda sect?
Yeah, well, that means the place of truth. So he calls it the place of truth ashram. Now, as I said, he claims to have some 60 million followers. And he has presented himself as a social campaigner who tries to help people with issues such as drug and alcohol addiction. There were actually people out there who said, oh God, he got us out of these problems, and that's why they're so committed to him. His official website describes him as a spiritual saint, a philanthropist, and versatile singer. He has performed in music videos. He's a very flamboyant figure. He's actually also been accused by former ashram inmates of surrounding himself with some 400 castrated bodyguards, you know, something similar to medieval times. So a lot of strange things happening there, but that's how it was.
I see one report where they're saying that violence has spread to the capital, Delhi. Have you heard about that?
Yes, apparently one bus was set on fire on the border of Delhi, and two train coaches, empty train coaches, which were parked in a shed, were also set on fire. Otherwise, Delhi is absolutely calm and peaceful, but the chief minister here has appealed for calm in several regions surrounding the area of Panchkula, where the court read out the verdict, have now imposed a curfew, and the army has been called out in those areas, but not in Delhi. Delhi is otherwise peaceful.
Yes. Is it known when Singh will be sentenced?
Yes, he's going to be sentenced on Monday. Meanwhile, they've flown him in a helicopter to a jail in an undisclosed location. And I guess, you know, they're going to really step up on security when the sentence is announced. He could be sentenced to 7 years for raping the two young girls, of which he has been held guilty.
That's Anjana Pasricha reporting from New Delhi. Joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard with a look at what's trending. So, Doug, what's going on?
Well, I have to say Twitter is being taken over right now by Taylor Swift.
Oh!
I know that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but she apparently has released a new song, and people are trying to decode, you know, because she's very famous for, you know, putting all kinds of messages in her. Anyway, but on a much more serious note, of course, there is a major hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico, heading toward Texas. Looks like it'll be making landfall today, Friday sometime. And it's called Hurricane Harvey. And that is a huge trender right now on social media using hashtag Hurricane Harvey. And I tell you, it's really interesting because not only are people tweeting out well wishes, hopes for the best and that kind of thing, there's a tremendous amount of imagery from NASA, from the National Hurricane Center. There are lots of people tweeting out, steps that people should take if they are evacuating, if they're not evacuating. This is the potential of being a major, major storm. I mean, there are some predictions of up to 35 inches of rain falling. I mean, that's not quite, but almost a meter of rain, if you can even imagine such a thing. So this hashtag Hurricane Harvey is a good way, I think, not only people are communicating, sharing wishes, but also sharing suggestions about how to prepare, what to do, important steps that need to be taken. So it's a good information reference, actually.
Absolutely. And our thoughts are with those on the Gulf Coast.
Indeed.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories trending. President Trump imposes strong new sanctions on Venezuela. Officials in Somalia say 10 people were killed in a raid on a farm in the southern part of the country. The Iraq military says it's reached the center of Tal Afar. And President Trump's economic advisor rips the administration's response to Charlottesville. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Coffee is one of the most popular beverages in the world. There has been an active debate regarding daily coffee consumption amounts for some time. Two new and separate studies drawing data from different sources suggest that drinking coffee may actually help reduce the risk of death from a variety of causes such as heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, respiratory, and kidney disease. The two studies agree that the association with drinking coffee and living longer was even greater for those who drank between 2 to 3 cups a day. However, 4 cups or more could be a problem, according to a 2013 study from the University of South Carolina. That study suggested that people under the age of 55 who drink 4 or more cups of coffee during the day are at greater risk for an early mortality. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, a majority in a new poll say President Trump is divisive. Nearly 1,000 people were forced out of their jobs in Turkey Friday as part of an ongoing government crackdown following a failed coup last year. More than 150,000 people have been fired since the crackdown began. Opposition to the crackdown is increasingly focusing on 2 purged educators who have been on a hunger strike for more than 5 months. Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul.
Semi, Nuria, we are with you. Protesters chanted early this month in the heart of Istanbul. It was the latest show of support for Professor Nuria Gulmen and school teacher Semi Ozakcha. Protesters are in their 5th month of a hunger strike over the firing of the educators that was part of a government crackdown following the failed coup. This protest did not last long. Dozens of heavily armed riot police backed by plainclothes police arrested as many people as they could. With the condition of the hunger strikers deteriorating, the crackdown on their supporters is intensifying. The Interior Minister, Süleyman Soylu, has ruled out concessions.
Kusura bakmasınlar. Biz çocuklarımızı terörist olarak eğitsinler diye okula göndermiyoruz.
I'm sorry, he says, but we're not sending our children to schools to be educated as terrorists. We can't surrender our children to the hands of the terrorists for their education, he adds. Gülmen and Ozakçı were terminated from their jobs after they were accused of being supporters of the Islamic cleric Fethullah Gülen, who Ankara blames for masterminding the coup attempt. Like many of the 150,000 people who have been fired since the start of the crackdown, Gülmen and Ozakçı are staunchly secular and oppose Gülen, who denies the government's accusations against him. The two, however, are critical of the government and President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. With their hunger strike becoming an increasing focal point of opposition to the crackdown, they were jailed on terrorism charges for alleged ties to a banned left-wing group. Political scientist Cengiz Aktar says the crackdown on the hunger strikers and their supporters is increasingly driven by panic.
It's done out of irrationality and fear. They don't realize that by doing so, and they are making out of these two unlucky fellow sort of heroes. So if they happen to die, which I really hope not, things will get worse. People will take up this issue even more strongly. Others may follow suit. Other hunger strikers may follow suit, and it may become something uncontrollable.
Protests in support of Gülmen and Ozakçı continue. Their names are seen on graffiti on walls and pavements in towns and cities across Turkey. Despite the risks, one demonstrator remains defiant, but is concerned about the lives of Gülmen and Ozakçı.
I'm extremely worried. I'm so worried. Even I'm losing weight because I don't enjoy existing while this is happening. But we will definitely find a way of continuing to exist, and not just continue to exist, but to resist and get strong and win in the end, because what we are fighting for is justice, is human rights. It's a good cause.
This protest was eventually broken up by police. Tensions are further fueled by reports that the authorities are planning to force feed hunger strikers to keep them alive. Dorian Jones for VOA News, Istanbul.
It has been a week of contrast for President Trump. Speaking to a veteran.
As a candidate for president last year, Donald Trump vowed to be a uniter, not a divider. But in his 7 months in office, keeping that promise has proved elusive. Trump's controversial comments blaming both sides for the recent violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, has brought renewed focus on the question of whether the president is taking steps to heal the country or to divide it. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
It has been a week of contrast for President Trump. Speaking to a veterans group in Nevada, the president spoke of unity.
It is time to heal the wounds that divide us and to seek a new unity based on the common values that unite us. Where there's pride in
every American heart. But a day earlier at a campaign-style rally in Phoenix, Trump attacked his political opponents and the news media. He also defended his controversial comments, blaming both sides in the wake of the violent protests in Charlottesville.
I got the white supremacists, the neo-Nazi, I got them all in there, let's see. But yeah, KKK, we have KKK. I got them all. So they're having a hard time. So what did they say, right? It should have been sooner. He's a racist.
Trump's rally also brought out protesters who've been energized in the wake of Charlottesville.
I'm really gobsmacked the way that man has been acting in office. It's been nothing but total disorder.
But many of Trump's core supporters remain upbeat.
He's amazing, and he's right. He's right about everything.
The fallout from Charlottesville did not help Trump's already weak poll ratings, says historian Alan Lichtman.
Compared to other presidents and other crises who have brought the country together, Trump gets a failing grade.
Trump's supporters accept his blustery style, says analyst Hans Noel via Skype.
He's not skilled in the same kinds of ways of dealing with ideas that most politicians are. And for some people, that's a feature, right? That's part of what makes him attractive, is that he doesn't have to do what people say, doesn't play the same game that other folks do.
This is a disappointment.
Growing tensions between Trump and Republican congressional leaders could spell trouble, said Larry Sabato via Skype.
The initiative will have to be in Congress among the Republicans. They control both houses, and they're the ones on the ballot next. Trump won't be on the ballot in 2018. They'll be on the ballot in 2018.
A new Quinnipiac poll found that 62% of those surveyed see Trump as a divider, while 31% view him as a uniter. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is International Edition. From social media sensation to country star to affordable housing advocate, Kane Brown is determined to use his celebrity to make a difference in the lives of others. Nikki Strong fills us in. So, Nikki, tell us a little bit about Kane Brown.
Well, he's young. He's 23 years old. He's one of the rising stars in country music. He's a contemporary country artist, so his sound has pop and R&B influences. He has this great voice, very distinctive voice. When I first heard his voice, I was like, who is that singing? Rich and deep, just nice. He was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he came to fame via social media. He posted a bunch of videos of him doing covers and amassed a huge following. Fast forward, he was signed to Sony Music Nashville, and in December of last year, released his first full-length solo project. And it actually hit number one on the top country albums chart. And his current song, What Ifs, featuring Lauren Elena, is now in the top five on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart. So he is well on his way to having a fruitful career.
Oh, it sounds like it. Well, what made him take on the cause of affordable housing?
Wow. Well, he knows about it firsthand. So he was homeless. He lived in a car with his mother. When she had to choose between food or rent, that's what the outcome was. He also shared that after he graduated from high school, even though he was working, he still didn't have enough money to pay rent. So he had to live with his grandmother. He was part of what we would call the working poor. And it really hit home for him. So he teamed up with the Make Room organization, which works to end the rental housing crisis in America. And they team up with corporations, policymakers, nonprofits, and advocates to raise awareness and support for the 11 million plus families struggling to make rent.
So now he's going to be talking to the U.S. Congress about this?
Yes. So he, along with officials from Make Room, are attending a congressional briefing on September 12th on Capitol Hill in D.C. to encourage lawmakers to put affordable housing on the national agenda. So a lot of people also just don't know how bad the housing crisis is. So on their website, makeroom.org, they talk about how the demand for affordable housing outstrips the supply, which then drives the rents up, and then how wages haven't really kept up with rising rents either. So you have people who work jobs but still cannot find housing they can afford. Kane Brown has been there and done that. And even if you're able to find something far away from your job, the cost of the commute can eat up your rent money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then families who struggle to pay rent tend to forego essentials like food and health care to keep a roof over their head. And then that really impacts the children. So it can be very devastating. And he says part of why he's involved is to help others who have experienced housing insecurity like him, and to really encourage them through their difficult times and to really help them make it through. So his current hit, What Ifs, poses a lot of hypothetical situations. And so when I heard he was doing this with Make Room, I was like, what if housing was affordable for everybody, no matter what job you worked. I think that would be transformative, to say the least.
You can find out more about Kane Brown, his partnership with Make Room, and the organization itself at makeroomusa.org. You can also hear Kane Brown's music on VOA One's Country Hits with Nikki Strong. Feel free to connect with Nikki on Facebook and Twitter at VOA One The Hits. Thanks a lot, Nikki.
You're very welcome.
What if I was made for you and you were made for me? What if this is it? What if it's meant to be?
The music of Kane Brown. Well, the U.S. state of Florida has carried out its first execution in nearly 2 years, using an anesthetic never before included in the mixture of drugs used as a lethal injection to administer a death penalty. Drug manufacturers have declined to sell the anesthetic, midazolam, for use in lethal injections. Authorities said Mark Assay, the first white man executed in Florida for the killing of a black man, was pronounced dead Thursday evening at a state prison. The 53-year-old's execution was the first in Florida since a court-ordered temporary ban halted use of the death penalty in early 2016.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria is transmitted by mosquito bites. But there are some things you can do to reduce your risk. Wear light-colored, loose-fitting clothing, including long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. Eliminate any standing water around your home, including water that collects in wood piles, taps, puddles, old buckets, water jugs, and containers that livestock drink from. And if you can get one, use an insecticide-treated bed net to cover you and your children while you sleep.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
And that is our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
During his recent trip to Colombia, Argentina, Chile, and Panama, Vice President Mike Pence urged governments in the hemisphere to take strong action to support a peaceable solution to the crisis facing the Venezuelan people. In Venezuela, said Vice President Pence, we're seeing the tragedy of tyranny play out before our eyes. The Venezuelan people are experiencing grinding poverty and dire food and medicine shortages. The once free people of Venezuela are being forced to endure this fate by the brutality of the Maduro regime, said Mr. Pence. No free people has ever chosen to walk the path from prosperity to poverty. No free people has ever chosen to turn what was once and should still be one of South America's richest nations into its poorest and most corrupt. The Maduro regime has undermined Venezuela's democratically elected National Assembly. It has stifled the voices of a free press and its people, and imprisoned more than 670 political opponents. More than 130 Venezuelans have already died in the fight for democracy. The United States, Colombia, and free nations of Latin America will not be silent as Venezuela slides into dictatorship, said Vice President Pence. We will continue to stand with free nations across our hemisphere until democracy is restored for the Venezuelan people. Determined to hold Venezuela to account, 12 nations from across the region jointly issued the Lima Declaration. They were blunt and truthful. Venezuela is no longer a democracy. The Maduro regime has committed systematic violations of human rights and fundamental liberties and bears responsibility for blocking the entry into Venezuela of badly needed food supplies and medicine. The United States has issued several rounds of targeted sanctions against Venezuelan government officials, including Maduro. The United States, said Mr. Pence, will continue to take action until the Maduro regime restores democracy, holds free and fair elections, releases all political prisoners, and ends the repression of the Venezuelan people. Working with all of its allies across Latin America, as President Donald Trump has said, we can achieve a peaceable solution to the crisis facing the Venezuelan people. To that end, the U.S. will continue to bring to bear the full measure of American economic and diplomatic power until democracy is restored in Venezuela.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.